Good afternoon, everybody. This is a strange introduction because David's voice has not come through. I'm Harry, I'm with Dave, and welcome back to another show of the podcast that still has no name. Uh-huh. Dave, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm all good.
All right.
Good. It's been good. We didn't have a chat last week, so I felt a little bit sad.
No, we didn't.
It's been 2 weeks now.
Yeah, so we must have lots to talk about.
And you know, our 10 listeners are probably a little bit upset that they couldn't catch up with us. Do you think we've got 10? Do you think we
know how many we've got. Ooh. So I'm not going to share that information.
Okay.
I might leak that info during this podcast, actually, because it might
drop
be related
it in.
To what we're talking about.
A few hints.
Yeah, I'm all good, thanks, man. I've had a pretty good couple of weeks coaching, but it prompted a conversation, I thought, some of the stuff that I've been doing.
Yeah, that's what we've always got.
I was going to talk about the technology in golf.
Okay.
Yeah, because like the technology in golf has changed wildly over the whole landscape of golf has changed wildly over the last few years, last 10, 15, 20 years in particular. Not just with the technology of golf clubs, but other additions to other things in terms of like range distance devices, etc., and what have you. So, give you a bit of an insight. I gave a lesson to a lady this week who hasn't played golf for 20 years, and we were just talking about distances on the range during a lesson, and I showed her the range finder. And like most people, they hold it the wrong way around. I said, oh, have a go with it, and they hold it the wrong way around. She was like, what the hell is that? And I was like, oh, you just press that button on the top of the laser rangefinder and it'll tell you how far the thing is. And you can not just zap the flag, you can zap multiple different things. You can point it at the pond, say how far the pond is, how far the bunker is. And she's like, surely that's cheating. And I was like, oh, do you know what? For somebody that hasn't played golf for like 20 years, probably that does seem like cheating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just come accepted now. If you're like a new golfer, if you're sort of a lockdown golfer and starting getting into it and stuff, those things have always existed. And having seen a few people on Instagram where they've not had their distance devices and stuff and their head's been scrambled and they don't know how to play, it's interesting they've not learned the old-fashioned way. So, you know, back in the day when you and I started, well, more so me, because you're still young as hell.
Yeah, definitely back in the day.
You know, you'd walk to get to the 150-yard marker and then you'd walk to your ball and then you'd kind of think, right, it's 15 paces to there, I've got 135, and you guess where the flag is relevant to that sort of thing. Yeah, and you make an adjustment. And obviously things like the distance devices, like what kind of tells you everything. So first question to you then is there a bit of a lost art in golf based on people relying on it? And second part of that question, loaded question, do you think people rely on that information too much and kind of sort of misinterpret it, let's say, as well? So first question.
This opens up a can of worms, doesn't it? And funny enough, I actually had this same chat with my 8 o'clock lesson last night.
Oh, really?
So obviously we don't pre-exempt these chats, we go for it. Mm. We had exactly the same chat and it came from him playing Remedy Oak.
Yeah.
Obviously a great course here. But they have no 150 markers.
Yeah.
Obviously they got the sprinkler heads in the ground, which is the modern way of doing it now. But he was lost. He's an old school golfer. No laser, no watch, no this, no that. And he didn't know what to do because there was no markers. So it was quite funny you say it. So where do we go? We backtrack. I mean, yeah, I was the same when I was younger. It was 150 poles, that wooden stick in the middle of the fairway you try to find, and you guess. Mm. You'd almost go, well, what do I hit 150? And then you go, it's about 10 yards. Uh-huh. It's about this. And then you go. I think it creates the better golfer. Very visual. I'm definitely a very visual golfer. I could play golf without a range finder.
Yeah.
I'd be quite confident just to go and play, and I'd be okay. Mm. Obviously, I wouldn't be as great knowing the numbers, but I could look at a yardage probably similar to yourself and go, it's about 121, I'm gonna hit this club. You don't have that now. Golfers, they don't have a clue what it is, because their first instinct is watch on your strap there straight away, oh, it's this, or straight to the laser. And they lose that.
Like if I take out some higher handicap golfers and I play golf with them, I pretend like I've got a laser eye. So what I do is I'm not bad at guessing this. Don't get me wrong. I get it wrong horribly as well. But just while they're getting theirs out, I'll go 121, like, or 157, like that. And they're like, oh my God. Like, and sometimes I'm like right, and sometimes I'm like a couple of yards out, and sometimes I'm a mile away. But I would advise people to try and guess the yardage before they do the laser or look at the watch.
Yeah, 100%.
So I think, have a go at it, because then I think that helps you with that sort of versatility, particularly when you get sort of inside 70. So for me, I don't really laser anything inside, say, 70 yards. You know, and so I would just think, oh, it's just kind of one of them. It's like a little half kind of shot, I'm going to land it there sort of thing. And then everything outside that, I might use the laser, or if other people are using like a watch, then that's when the watch is kind of a help.
I'd starting?
No, we're carrying on. Like, that was a nightmare. Like, the phone rang. Okay, so we're back.
Are we back?
So we're carrying on from where we were a second ago. So the phone rang. This is still a little bit rustic, this podcast. It's still being recorded on an app on the phone. We're going to level that up perhaps in the next episode. So if the phone rings, it's curtains. And then what we're talking about, distance devices and stuff and whatever you're like. Try and guess the distance before you reach for the laser. And then going back to that question that I asked you about, you know, has it made maybe golf a little bit too easier? It feels like cheating to somebody that did it years ago. Has it helped? Is it, or are people too dependent on that? Let's say your battery runs out on your watch or your battery runs out on your laser. Like, what happens then? Do people have like a backup plan?
It's a question that leads to more questions and more answers, isn't it? You can go off to a tangent here. I don't think it's cheating. I think it's just bringing the game into a modern era with everything. And I think it's great for the game because technically it should speed up play, but at the same time it doesn't speed up play because you should be able to look at the yardage and you know what it is and you go. But people are too busy now going fronts this, middles that, backs this, and 90% of these golfers don't need that information. It's too much information. No disrespect to these golfers, but they cannot hit the ball the same distance five times in a row, three times in a row. So it doesn't really matter that much. It's nice to get the overall. It does impact the game massively where there's no feel. And I think feel is such a big part of golf that's disappearing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think now you don't have that. It's the talent of golfers that aren't coming through anymore. It's so structured. It's so rigid. It's so technical based that we're like robots when we play golf.
Yeah.
I think the era of golfers of feel, like a Seve golfer, would be long gone now. He wouldn't exist in this modern era of golf because that feel's gone. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't use a distance device. He'd hit a 3-iron out of a bunker.
Yeah.
Now it's frowned upon. You wouldn't do that. Mm. So there's the both elements of that. Blowing your brain out one, isn't it?
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think you look at people's swings now, particularly with technology and perhaps, you know, video coaching sort of been elevated and stuff and online lessons, which I'm all for, but people do get a little bit sort of position-based and stuff as well now. And a lot of swings you see now, they're kind of like, golfers are better now than they've ever been, for sure, in terms of the top level. But is the amateur golfer any better than they used to be? Well, I think they're helped out by the technology of the clubs and stuff and what have you. But I think a lot of that sort of artistry from golfers hitting shots in particular with difficult clubs and stuff as well back in the day without the help of those devices and the cluttered mind of sort of swing analysis through videos and stuff. I think you're right, there is a little bit of an element lost. Okay, here's a big question for you. The future of golf, the whole landscape of golf, this is the way I'm seeing it. I had a dream about it, okay? So I've got
David's dream.
So here we go. AI is going to take over the world, isn't it? It's inevitable. Like 10 years time, who knows, maybe even less, 20, 30.
I'm going to put it out there.
Go on.
AI will be illegal soon.
Illegal?
It will be illegal.
Nah.
They will remove AI.
Because, you reckon so?
Well, there's already complaints. I know you're about to ask me a question, but they're already using famous actors' faces in adverts, aren't they? And it's false advertisement. Mm-hmm. There will be a law that will come into AI.
There'll certainly be a law there for sure, because people's voices can be replicated, their faces can be replicated. Yeah. So you might see on Instagram Harry Shaw giving a golf tip. It's not Harry Shaw.
Might be a good golf tip though. So if it is, I want to see it.
Jackie Chan.
Oh. We're allowed to say that now. But yeah, so yeah, AI is going to be banned. I think there will be a law that comes in that AI be allowed.
Cat is out of the bag already. It's like it's there and it's only going to get better and better. And I do think, like there's some scary talk about artificial intelligence in there in terms of like how this direction might go. And I think I'm trying to not get too sort of off topic or step out of my sort of expertise here, but I'm going to keep it like linked to golf. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, you know, like on Snapchat, you can take a look at a little filter and it's AR and stuff, and you can have bunny ears and stuff and what have you, and you can make yourself look younger, and you can make yourself look older and all of those sorts of AR things and what have you. This is the way I think golf might be one day. The golf course condition won't matter. You'll be able to play golf in a field, right? And you're going to have, not a VR headset, but you'll be able to put some contact lenses in, and you're going to be able to see Pebble Beach when you're just in like a big area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to have, the bunkers won't be there. Like the undulations won't be there. There could be a ginormous like windmill you've got to hit through. And I think the future of golf is going to be AR related, in sort of an outdoor space. So you're still hitting a physical ball, but the greens will be crap, but it doesn't matter because it's going to look amazing.
Interesting.
What do you think?
They do something similar to that, don't they? They do meeting rooms.
Yes.
Things like this. Obviously, I've never experienced one. I'd love to, but I've met a few guys now that said that they all work from home with VR headsets on, but their meeting room would be crazy golf or bowling.
Yeah.
And they have this, like, it's like a little Sims world, isn't it? Where they make their little character, I don't know how it works, and then they have meetings that way. So you can talk to a character in person, but that's your colleague that lives across the other side of the world or something. So it's already half there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're right. Yeah, of course. It's only a matter of time. It's probably out there. You could probably play Pebble Beach. And
you could definitely play it with like a VR headset and stuff on whatever. But I think one day, so you know, like roadside, I was thinking about this the other day in terms of like how things are going to go and stuff on whatever. So the future of these contact lenses, which might, you know, like you might be wearing the contact lenses and it will just tell you how far away you are from the flag and kind of wear that out, and you'll just see like a little visual representation in your eyeball. And, you know, things like motorway advertising will just kind of appear and someone will pay for that to sort of happen, so that when you're driving along and you've got those contact lenses in, you'll see an ad from McDonald's next left or something like that. All that's going to happen. So I think I could see that happening on a golf course where there's some stuff there, and maybe there's just information that's spread out to you straight away, almost like, say, distances and stuff and what have you, or a tip from the pro on how to play the hole, and you'll just kind of see it and stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think you're right. I think we're getting that. I think we are, definitely. Yeah. I mean, we're trying, we're slowly getting there, aren't we? So we're getting a lot more electronic tee boxes, aren't we? We've had a few here that you can see the overview of the hole, and almost like having an iPad on every tee box. So,
what do you think of these personal launch monitors that people can get now? So you can, like, a personal launch monitor, you can kind of call anything under $5,000 now a personal launch monitor, can't you? Something that's portable to kind of take out yourself some data.
There's plenty out there. I mean, even the Trackman's portable, isn't it? Which is obviously the top of the
range. That's your budget, because you're a big baller. You can call that sort of like a little
One day, the hub will generate us that money, and we'll spend it all in Vegas, so we'll be fine.
Sure, okay.
Where are we going with monitors now? There's a lot of rubbish out there. Let's not beat around the bush.
Okay.
And I think golfers have realised that now.
Yeah.
A lot of false advertising, a lot of false reviews, which is my pet hate in golf.
Okay.
Here you go, we'll bung you a few £1,000 to tell everyone how great this is. And I think guys are getting them. We won't name names on the devices. We've been through a lot here.
Okay, yeah, we've tried out a few, haven't we?
We've tried out a few, and some good, some not good, but also mixed reviews from various golfers. So it's very strange how it works. I think it's worth someone having one, and also the guys that I teach all request it. It depends what data you want, and this is where it comes into. I think a lot of guys just want it to know distance.
Yes.
But when it comes to distance, what balls are you using? Where are you hitting it? Are you hitting into a net? Are you hitting out into a field?
Yeah.
So many different scrambled numbers. You know, the top tracers we've got here at Parley and the other centres around, it's great for games, useless for data.
I would agree. I think they are great, and the ranges are as busy as they've ever been. I think I've talked about this before on the podcast, but how people use the stuff is important. So what I get a lot of people to try and do is to say, right, hit a shot with your wedge like 50 yards, now can you hit 5 yards more, 5 yards more, 5 yards more, 5 yards more. Hit a number, say hit 100, hit 120, now try and hit a distance in between the two distances.
Yeah.
Like, use it for those sorts of things, because if the data isn't that accurate, which I would argue, I think the ball distance is inflated by 10%.
I think with up to 150 yards, I think it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I think over that. Like, I mean, I hit it 300 yards on top of the range. 100%, I don't hit 300 yards.
I'm the other way around. I can't get it past like 230, 240 at the range. Can't.
That's mad.
Just nosedives.
Yeah, that's strange.
So weird. Yeah, 7 iron goes miles.
Okay.
Yeah, driver goes nowhere.
Mm.
So everyone's different, you know, with that.
Yeah, that is strange, actually. Yeah, no, you're right, actually, because I've spoken to a few people and they'll say, oh, yeah, I don't think it's right, because I think I hit it further. But I definitely hit it further on the top tracer range.
You're
than
a top
I do.
Tracer golfer.
Well, maybe I am. Yeah, maybe I just need to do that. But, so there's a definite positive to that in terms of sort of technology in golf and stuff and what I mean. The top tracer range has been really, really pivotal in terms of like keeping people going. I think top golf is insane. Like, have you done top golf?
I have done top golf. I think it's getting a bit old fashioned now, though.
Well, you need to change it.
I went a little bit recent. I love top golf. Great, great night out with your friends. It's a very student heavy place now, though, isn't it? You don't actually see many golfers there anymore because of what's happened with Trackman and top tracer range, which is amazing. I think it needs to modernise a little bit more. I mean, I think the ones we've got in the Surrey area is a little bit run down.
What, have you got any ideas how they would make it better?
Well, I mean, if you go to the Dubai ones, the Vegas ones, they're incredible, aren't they? The, you know, it does light up, it works. The one I went to recently, it was a bit battered and bruised.
Yeah.
So I think things need to. I think it's then making it a little bit more golf-like.
Mm-hmm.
I think the golf balls are very funky at Top Tracer.
Oh, right, okay.
Very, very funky.
Yeah.
The clubs, you're not actually meant to use your own golf clubs anymore.
Are you?
You're meant to use their own, yeah.
Really, why?
Just because of all the data and the connections. Well, this, and things.
Oh, they're collaborated?
No, their clubs are different golf clubs. They're not like proper golf clubs.
Okay.
So if you hit the balls with a real club, it just doesn't fly properly. It's like hitting a crazy golf ball.
What, because of the balls?
And the balls have obviously got the chips in, haven't they? So I think when you hit it with a proper club, there's too much impact. So you break them too fast. They didn't like the idea of you bringing your own clubs in.
Yeah.
I did, but again, wasn't great. It is great. I just think, had you modernised it a bit more, I think it's, there's got to be a few more targets, a few more. I don't really know the ins and outs, but all you can do is hit the targets. You can't actually just hit a golf ball.
Yeah.
You have to play the game they set you up on.
Is there a, you know, like esports, so you can make so much money on esports now and stuff and what have you, and so somebody's going to be the best in the world. Is there a best in the world, like top golf person?
Oh, it's got to be.
Do you think there is, somebody that's like world number one? And do you think maybe that would be good television or not? I don't know. Like, because the... One thing I found about the Top Golf, I did a Top Golf Pro-Am about 2 years ago, maybe more. And I quite enjoyed it. And like, I get into stuff. Like, I get addicted to stuff quite easily. But so like, I went there and I was like, you're trying to hit these certain distances and stuff, or maybe to try and get maximum points.
Yeah.
You know what I'm like? I'm just going to, I'm not going to aim for the easy one. I'm going to keep going at this some small little target, 280 yards away, to try and get maximum points. And it's so addictive, and it was just like, okay, well, after about an hour, I've had enough, but then I want to come back again and have another go.
Mm.
And I think that's one of the reasons that it's popular, is that addictive nature to it and stuff and what have you. But yeah, how do they make it better then? So there's, you think, keep people coming back, but I think if there's like a world leaderboard where you're kind of like, you're the best top golf player in the world because you score X amount of points.
Yeah, it's all points. It's just a points game they do. I think they need a few other games in there.
Mm.
Also, the cost of it as well.
Right.
It cost me £25 for like 60 balls.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's not cheap. So two of us went and it was an expensive day.
Yeah.
Well, it's an expensive couple of hours.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's obviously going to put a lot of golfers off.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of money, to be fair. Yeah, and when you're there, you're going to have a couple of beers and you're going to have a big, massive burger and chips, aren't you, and stuff as well. You're going to do that, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I do like it. I'd love to go to a bigger one.
Yeah.
I think we've only experienced our one we have here, which is quite small.
Yeah.
But obviously, again, from the top of that, you've got the indoor simulator rooms now, don't you?
Mm.
Obviously, these venues, which have got launch monitors and
they're
serving you beer. Obviously, you're off to a party soon, aren't you, at one of them?
Mm.
I think that's taking off.
Those indoor rooms, yeah, those are cool. Those are cool. I've been chatting to quite a few people, and so many people have... not even played golf, but been going to the range for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then played. I'm like, but it's almost like the game is the range. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, so I know it's also people that I've been teaching golf to and they're itching to get out on the golf course. Like beginners, they're itching to get out. And it's like, okay, this is the game. You, there's some enjoyment in hitting the ball and there's also enjoyment in score. But everyone has such different ideas in terms of what they find fun out of golf, isn't it? Some people it's the score, some people it's just whacking it, some people it's the social, some people it's the fresh air. But it's interesting that some people... I would liken this to just throwing darts at a wall, like, but your technique's really hot and there's just no dartboard. Do you know what I mean? And that would be mad, wouldn't it? So to me, just hitting balls at a range is mad because it's like, well, that's not really the game.
Different, isn't it? It's, some golfers don't want to play golf. I know loads of them.
Yeah.
And as we all do, some golfers just love the driving range. They love hitting golf balls. They're not interested in chipping and putting. They're not interested in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a time element that comes to it. I think your range golfers don't have 4, 5, 6 hours free to play golf. There's also the side of golf that they don't want to go on the course.
Yeah.
They're scared, they're worried about it. But then the driving range is enjoyable. It's social, like you said. You can come and meet your friends, hit some golf balls, have a laugh, doesn't matter, and you go home relatively happy.
Mm.
We've all gone home after a round of golf, huffing and puffing, and never playing this game again. I think it's quite rare you'd get that from a range session with your friends if you don't try and play the course. The frustration comes from the course, in my opinion. So it's a different way, but then you can link it to other sports. I know your analogy to darts, but football, a lot of guys do play football, will never play for a team.
Yeah,
they'll go for a kick around with their mates, but they'd never actually play Saturday Sunday league.
Yeah, true. It's nice having a kick about and stuff and whatever. Yeah, I get that. Like, I guess that comes down to the individual, then, which is for me, as like I said to you this before, we talked about this before, because you were doing some boxing training.
Mm-hmm.
If I start doing boxing training, I know I'm going to want to start to to test that out. And
I've got no interest in having a boxing fight.
Just the idea of just doing like the training in something to not put it into the actual sport is like, I find interesting. But I guess that just highlights how everybody's so different, isn't it, in terms of what they might enjoy. So, question to the listeners then. To the hundreds, the thousands, possibly hundreds of people listening.
Okay, we're about more than 10.
Possibly hundreds listening, Harry. Maybe ask yourselves the question, what is it that you enjoy most about it in terms of the golf? Because then I think that's off topic slightly, but it's an interesting thing to kind of find out what you gain from it. Because that range golfer, I'd be interested to know what they are finding about it. Is it their seek of perfection with their technique? Is it the seek of perfection of the shots? Because I think, the shots have got to mean something. Do you know what I mean? No one likes thinning it in the hole from 50 yards, but if you value score, you'd be like, yes, get in there. Do you know what I mean?
This is, I think everyone's response will be depending on their ability.
Mm.
I think that's where you'll get it from. However, the key factor of everyone will be socialising.
Yeah.
That's why everyone comes to golf.
Mm.
It's got to be social at every level. From the range to the golf course to competing, it's still a social activity.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys that are competing at high level, it's the thrill of improving or shooting their best score ever. A beginner golfer is the thrill to get better and get themselves onto a course. And then the guys that are driving range golfers, it is just to hit a golf ball.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
What's the lowest score you've ever had?
What's the lowest score? I shot... It was in Morocco. That was my lowest ever.
Oh, you had an incredible round.
That was my lowest ever. Was it six, I think it was? Six or seven?
Yeah, I think you said six, seven.
Yeah, that's my lowest. My lowest was Dudsbury beforehand. Tournament was Dudsbury. I shot 5 under at Dudsbury, which is obviously sadly going.
Yeah,
so another course. So I've actually held my two best rounds at Camp Banknor and Dudsbury Golf Course, and they're both shut.
Okay, don't let Harry come and play your golf.
They are the two golf courses that I've got my names on the boards as well, so they've now been removed. So the Harry Shaw golfer legacy has disappeared.
Right.
There are no more. Gone.
I went and played Rushmore the other day. It was where I started my career, and I saw my name up on the board, which was the club championship.
I'll go and play there next. And it shut down.
Yeah, don't go there. Yeah, that was interesting, because I started there back in 1999, and I won the club championship, I think, in 1999 or 2000 or something like that. And I was like, oh, that seems ages ago. That is an eternity ago.
99 doesn't feel long ago in one way. You're 99, it's like...
Well, you were like seven.
But it is... so far away, isn't it? I remember the millennium, the 2000s, and you think, oh yeah, we're fine, but we're 2024 next year.
Yeah.
Like, that's 25 years ago almost.
So 2030 is going to look different. Going back to what we were saying earlier about this technology, like where's it all going to go, man?
Matt, crazy, isn't it? With everything in life, isn't it? Technology's going to be exciting at the same time.
Do you think we might get to the stage where we're like half robot, half human, and then we'll just hitting a ball will just be easy, because it's just like we'll have like a microchip which just tells us how to do it and stuff, and you just hit it and it's just going to be like,
I think that's the concern with life in general, isn't it? Things are getting too easy. We're all becoming lazy.
Well, we'd better drive to work without having to drive it.
Well, so within this VR thing, we won't need to go to work.
Oh right, yeah.
Imagine like us teaching, we could actually sit at home and
VAR
it. Hang on, any Liverpool fans out there? We could VR it from home, and we could probably give a lesson, and we could both see each other.
Yeah.
That could be where it's going, because we do obviously video lessons.
Well, a lot of people do skill lessons and stuff and whatever. And I've given a few online lessons myself. It's not something I've done a lot of, but I've done a fair amount. And it's just like, I kind of feel like people are getting really good through tuition online. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that's down to the skill of the coach asking the right questions, because you have to ask. You can't just say, let's have a look at the swing and let's critique it. Because that does not work.
No.
That's just like trying to make something look prettier. So I think the secret to those online lessons, if you're listening and you're thinking about online lessons, I would say definitely give it a go. Have a look at the recommendations. Have a look at some of the results that some of those coaches have had. But also, it's just like, if you go armed with a whole host of questions about why your ball does what it does, then I think there's a lot of value in online lessons. And that actually does apply to real life lessons as well, doesn't it? Because it's so interesting. Like, I like to ask people about, okay, I kind of quiz them a little bit, but I say, tell me all about it. So I want to hear about it before I kind of tell them, because some people would just come in and say, right, take a look, tell me what you think. It's like, that's not a nice way to coach golf.
Yeah.
That's just me, you know, prodding you and saying, I don't like that. And
you must wonder, you want them to tell you the problems without knowing they're telling you the problems. And then they start to realise.
Yeah, shit, I've got a lot of problems.
You go, ah, okay, I actually do this. And it's like, I ask the question all the time, what's your bad shot, left or right? Mm. No one knows.
No one knows.
They do know, but they don't know. They don't. So I don't really know. I hit it both ways. And then they hit 10 balls and 9 of them have gone one way. Mm. And you go, well, there's your bad one.
Yeah.
And that clicks straight away with them.
Yeah.
But that's something you can't do on the online lessons because you can't see the ball flight.
Yeah, so you've got that, haven't you? Yeah.
The in-depth camera that's picking up these traces, which doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I struggle with the online lessons. Mm-hmm. I know you do quite a few. Mm. You love it. If I can't see the ball fly, I struggle from a coaching element. Okay. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because the swing can look great, yet they could hit it sideways.
Yes.
And you don't know. Mm. And trying to get that information from people is quite tough.
Mm.
So, yeah, I struggle with it.
Yeah.
It's not something for me.
So, all in all, technology's helpful. We don't want to become reliant on it. And then the future is uncertain.
The future is uncertain. But it's exciting. It is exciting, but it's worrying at the same time.
Yeah.
I think things will have to slow down, but things won't slow down.
People were worried when electricity came along because people were being paid to light the street lights, and people were worried about when, like, the TV came along because like the people that were in radio were like, oh, that's going to replace that and stuff and whatever. And they're right. And obviously, like, you go into like co-op now and there was no one on the tills in co-op the other day when I went in, and it was just the pay only, and I had a trolley full of stuff. I'm like, oh, but the people that were on the tills, you know, where are they now? Where are they?
Yeah.
A lot of people would say, well, that frees them up to do more exciting jobs potentially.
It's tough, isn't it? There's less jobs in that face-to-face, like even at the airport now.
Yeah.
You can go in and check your bag in, although I have to, it's so much easier.
Would you prefer, you don't like to see a person?
Oh, how long's the queues when you queue up for one person behind a desk instead of hours? How much faster is it now to go through an airport? We'll figure out when we go to Gatwick in a few weeks. There's 50 drop-offs. You just go in, scan your boarding pass, check back on. It's done. And everyone's done. You can go through so much faster now rather than this 3-hour wait in a queue for one person to stamp and go, yeah, you're good. But obviously when things go wrong, that's when you need someone.
Yeah. So I've never not been in a queue at an airport, right, with a middle-aged couple behind me, and there's only one thing open, and it's a massive queue, and one of them will say to the other one, why don't they just open up another thing? I was like, yes, they didn't think of that.
That is it. Why don't they just open another one? It's mad, isn't it, in the world? But I suppose, like you said, where are these people going? There are less jobs, but... Mm. There are more jobs from technology. I mean, Amazon are creating thousands of jobs, aren't they?
Yeah.
With, obviously, the delivery service and things, so...
So they're even doing, like, drone drop-offs, so you can get something shipped, like, within the hour via drone. That's mad, isn't it?
It's exciting. I haven't had a drone drop-off yet.
Do you use, like, apps and stuff to get food delivered to your house?
Yeah, your Uber Eats, isn't
it?
Your Uber Deliveroo is a popular one.
Yeah, I don't use any of that.
No?
No, I don't do any of that.
Okay.
I'm sure that's the future for me, to be able to do stuff like that as well.
What do you do this
stuff? Well, I just eat what's in the fridge, man.
Ah, you're right.
I'll go to the shop and I eat the stuff that I've bought. Do you know what I mean?
I even get my shopping delivered now.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm that lazy now.
I quite like going to do the shops. I like that little bit of social interaction in the shop and stuff and whatever.
If I go shopping, I have to walk down every aisle.
Yes.
And then I order or I buy too much.
Yeah, okay.
Because you're usually hungry when you go into the shop.
Oh, always.
And you don't know what you need. You always forget the list. Mm. So you just go, yeah, I'll put that in. Oh, that looks good.
Yeah.
So a weekly shop then turns into 4 times the amount you want to spend.
Mm.
That's my problem.
So. You're more of a Waitrose guy, so you're maybe not familiar with Lidl. But I went into Lidl. And in Lidl, there's the middle aisle where you can buy anything. You can buy tools. You can buy like a chainsaw and stuff. And I went in there. I went to buy some milk. And a couple of some kitchen roll or something like that. And the next minute, I've got a trolley and there's a kayak in there. And I'm like, come on, Dave, come on, man. But it was £60. Like, that's good for a kayak, isn't it?
It got you. It the got little me. Middle aisle one.
I did. I put the kayak back.
Put it back?
I put it back, yeah.
Oh, you
I
thought about it, though. Back.
Yeah, I thought about it.
Did it not fit in your basket?
I just thought, I thought, I don't kayak.
But you could have kayaked.
But I could have kayaked.
You could have kayaked.
Yeah.
So just think someone's got that kayak and it was previously owned by David Barton.
I owned it for a very, very there small point.
No one will ever know.
Yeah.
That was yours at one stage. Yep.
Right, anything else you want to end with, Harry?
No, I think we're good. I think we've hit the world with technology. Although we need to figure out technology of how to record this while your phone rings.
Oh yeah, well we'll do that next week.
We're that far behind in the world that we can't even do that.
We'll level up the podcast next time with some like special effects, I think, as well. We need some special effects and slightly better sound audio. But thanks to people that have been listening. Thanks for the positive feedback that you've given us and the critique. And we'll see you next week.
We will. Goodbye.